Hello, and welcome to the Cubicorn Games Podcast. My name is Dustin Morbido. Oh man, has it been a couple weeks? I mean, it's been, we've been busy. We've had a lot going on.
We kind of never don't have a lot going on.
Joining me in having a lot going on, Lorraine Morbido is here.
It's true. On both accounts.
Yeah, it's been all right, though. We've been hanging in there.
Yeah.
I'm getting a lot of game stuff done, which we'll talk about in a minute. Mm-hmm. We did have a couple of really exciting podcasts over the last couple weeks. If you want to hear from other developers or other sections of the industry in general, definitely check those out. We've got the last month or so, last two episodes, we had some very exciting guests from...
Interviews.
Yeah, all over the game world, which I hope to do again in the future. That stuff's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
With any of those guys or other people that we happen to, you know, wrangle up. But definitely a good time getting some fresh perspective and fresh information out there. But yeah, to get back to basics with us a little bit. It's going to be a pretty short show. I think we're just going to talk about what we've been up to as far as Cucumber development. Probably talk about the fucking horrendous state of the game industry in general a tiny bit at the end, and then we'll just call it a show.
No, no, no. The continuing horrendous state of the games industry.
It never ends.
It really doesn't.
From our end, things are going okay. No major tragedies. Things have been progressing. And yeah, Cucumber stuff's coming along. On my end, I've finished up a decent amount of music. Definitely going to do some more of that.
I mean, at least, like, maybe, like, well, aside from... what's like that aren't in the current build, I'm pretty sure, but will be in the next one. I think you've maybe got like kind of a song and a half if you're going to do one for everything that's there.
Yeah, maybe that. I know we wanted to also get some other little interstitial stuff like the move learning screen and the title screen, stuff like that is probably things I'll knock out next on that.
The title screen doesn't have music because the level select screen does, and that's what is normally just on the computer.
Well, that's why I tackled them in that order, but I do want them both to have something. But yeah, music's been going okay, and then I've been getting back into engineering, level design, stuff like that.
Cursed level design, I'd say, in some regard.
Well, we'll see. Hopefully it's just the right amount of cursed. Just cursed enough.
As it is right now, it is absolutely cursed.
Should be an under construction sign in our under construction level. But
maybe
yeah,
that's something I should make. Maybe there should be like a caution tape. Like,
yeah,
do they use caution tape on construction sites? Like just yellow, like that yellow fucking tape?
Sure, they do somewhere.
I feel like outside maybe, but not like inside. I don't know. I'm not a construction worker, so I couldn't tell you. I haven't been allowed inside a construction site, and it's probably for the best.
You know, it's very easily searchable if you want to know.
It's a line.
Yeah, right. That's fine, too. Yeah, you've been cranking out stuff like that. You had already made some little decorations for those scenes, which, again, they'll kind of go in eventually. Even in the next build, that stuff might not be looking too sharp. I don't know. We'll have to see. Because I like to not put as many of the finishing visual touches on areas before they're more gameplay settled.
Sure.
We've kind of separated that between us to some degree where I'll go at this point I'm building most of the functional like layout and geometry of levels, and then you're usually
I bang my head against them. Make sure
right, well, you're testing
I'm
them.
Used to round out the I'm the pumice stone that gets ground against the foot that is the cucumber level designs. Y'all don't see the bad. I see the worst of it. And then once that's all settled and done, I go through and do like a finishing pass. Like, I think there might be some stuff still in Tower 2 that I haven't actually gone back to do. It was like stuff that you added on later or tweaked that I would like to do eventually. I just need to remember when it's in front of me.
Yeah, I'm going to make a couple other tweaks to some things in some of those areas too. Yeah, the next build will also have some probably pretty minor level design changes for like Tower 2 and 3 specifically. Just like a couple of places I wanted to massage out a little bit or like reinforce some more stuff. But yeah, that stuff, so that'll all be in there as well. Probably like mid-June-ish we'll have a new build-out. That's still kind of my itinerary for the moment. The creative loop has been going good. I've been making stuff, then we'll sit down together. You know, I have potentially like zero to a handful of new art requests. And then we kind of like, you get that stuff done and we put it in. We see how it's looking and, you know, go from there. But it's been good. As I've been trying to build myself more tools to make Tower 4 levels more interesting, I've requested stuff like I just needed a movable damaging object.
Don't even get me started on the movable damaging object.
I mean, at first you gave me something that was pretty good, and then we talked about it more, and then I wanted to do a slightly different thing than we originally settled on, and then you gave me something that was even better.
You didn't even see the, like, I agonized over that object for at least a good 45 solid before I even made the first iteration. Like, oh god, like I really really can't wait to move past Cucumber just so I can kind of leave most of paint.net behind. Like, I'd love to be making this stuff more in, almost exclusively in Clip Studio, like I'm doing for the characters. But there's just, like, the little fine-tuning that we need for, like, the sprite element of it. Like, the actual, like, more, like, 16-bit-ish inspired background things. Like, you just can't do that with the same fidelity in Clip Studio. So I'm still using Paint.net for a lot of stuff. And it's not as good with, like, rotation and things like that. And getting things looking symmetrical on, like, once they've been, like, shifted and stuff. And, I mean, I'm working on 140 by 140 canvases for most of these things because that's the size of the assets specifically for this. And I am looking forward to not having to use that program as much of the future, because those pain points, I'm feeling them to certain degrees for just very, very specific, like, niche little bits of stuff where it's really annoying. Otherwise, like, I'm having, it's not a problem at all. It's just every now and then little tiny things where I'm just like, that's right. I've had, like, that's why I went and redid the sprites in a different program, because that's just easier to do, like, subtler, like, lines and different curves and stuff like that is much easier to do in Clip Studio than it is in Paint.net, at least at that scale, for sure. I'm doing my best.
You're doing a good job. You're hanging in there. There's still, I forget what it's called, but there are more than this. There are a handful of other, like, sprite-specific.
I know, but I have so much muscle memory in Paint.net, and, like, I know what I need. I know exactly where it is. I have so many different plugins in there at this point that I know exactly how they work and exactly how I want to use them. Like, the familiarity, that's not a word.
Familiarity is a word.
I didn't say it right.
I'll say it again.
I don't care. Unlike you, I'm not going to go back and reread my lines that I don't have in front of me. Just like I'm so comfortable in that environment, and I know how to get the results that I want, and I know how to tweak things. Like, I'm getting that way in Paint or in Clip Studio as well, but I don't think my workflow would be, like, changed in a meaningful positive way if I shifted, like, sprite programs now. I think there would be a much bigger, like, a much bigger and steeper learning curve to get the same results that I'm getting now. So I don't think that's in my best interest.
I'll defer to your judgment for sure, but in the same way I've been trying to do with the coding as much as possible, you know, if you think a process change will, on the whole, save time in the long run, probably try to do it.
I mean, what do you think I did last year when I redrew all the sprites?
Right. No, that's fair. Like I said, that's already paid dividends.
Everything's been cleaned up a lot, and I'm very happy with the results of that very large undertaking.
Mm-hmm. No, it's been real good. And then, yeah, Tower 4 stuff, like I said, coming along. I'm not 100% sure. I have to go back and check where I'm at with patch notes currently, because I do try to catalog that stuff as I go, of, like, as changes get in there. You know, try to write them down in subform and then spruce them up a little when we release them publicly. So, like, the patch notes for this might be, I don't know, we'll see. We'll see what ends up getting into the next build in a month or so. They might be feel a little more sparse than usual, but that'll just be because, again, I've done a lot of back-end work.
So much, yeah.
So, like, I never put stuff in there because it's not really, like, when I make changes to,
Find the tool for making this one specific more editable for us on our end.
Yeah,
like, that doesn't affect gameplay.
When it's not user-facing, I don't note it in there, but we've made a lot of changes to how, like, level design objects work, and specifically all those moving platforms and stuff in Tower 4 are technically very different than they were, like, a week or two ago. But, I mean, you had playtested that stuff today as of this recording, and it seemed like it's functioning okay for the most part, which is good. Yeah, relative to the size of the change set, it sounds like we kind of got away with it so far, but again, more time will tell. But yeah, like I said, it's been good. It's been nice to knock out some more music stuff, and it's been really nice to get out much larger, like, clarity of vision on Tower 4.
It's got more of an identity now.
Yeah, and again, now I need to like, use all the stuff that we've built together to build, like, actual gameplay content. But as of, like, a month ago, it was much less well-formed in terms of, like, what kind of obstacles exactly would be set up and how, like, unique they'd feel, whatever. And I feel like we're much further from that, and that, like, all that stuff has been amped up to a degree where I'm pretty happy with it.
I mean, I feel like this is kind of how, at least, like, post Tower 1, because Tower 1 is just, like, all tutorial. And, like, maybe also a little Tower 2, because, like, a lot of the core of that was already kind of there. Like, and still a bit, like, tutorially, like, the difficulty is finally ramping up. But 3 and 4 have become more fully realized as we, like, start messing with, like, the base mechanic. Because, I mean, like, we started with just a one type of door, and then now there's theoretically one day going to be 3, and the same is applied. Like, we didn't really have, like, the lever, like, the switch content in Tower 4. We had the track, like, the moving track was something we had kind of started building out, like, It had to have been like maybe 8 years ago at this point. Mm-hmm. Something like that. Maybe not quite that long. Maybe more like five. But like that idea was already kind of there. But the integration of like, oh, we've got this kind of concept from Tower 3 that's more solid and we know what we're doing with it. Like, let's bring it into here. And it's going to get weird. There's going to be some stuff in there. Tower 4. And it's a little more like open, but in a different way than Tower 3, like conceptually or whatever. The enemies are a lot more unique than kind of like any of the other ones. Like there's like just a crawling one that might be the only kind of holdover of like similar enemies from other towers. And I think that's cool. We're figuring it out.
For sure. But no, it's coming together. Like I said, I'll be excited for Too Many Games at the end of June. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a good time. And again, that'll be in the Philadelphia area,
yeah.
Pennsylvania, United States. So if you have the opportunity, that last week of June. Weekend of June, 28th to the whatever, I believe, come out and see us and a bunch of other cool games. I'm sure you won't regret it.
If it's 3 days, it's 28 through 30.
Okay. If that's the Friday, it's definitely that.
Right. Yeah, Friday through Sunday.
Yeah, should be a good time. But yeah, like I said, that's kind of it for us. My personal work has been going good. Our workflow together has been good. Mm-hmm. Again, batting stuff back and forth and sitting down. Again, for a team of two.
Yeah.
we're doing it. We're making it work. But I'm excited to see how that event goes. I think it's going to be a good time. And again, the music stuff, I think, in particular is really... it's nice to have some more of that stuff knocked out because, again, mm-hmm. it feels more definitive than, like, code and stuff where that stuff still changes so frequently that...
And, like, it's much smaller changes, but, like, the feel of... And, like, because this was my first time, like, I mean, obviously, like, I'd conceptualized it while you were, like, showing me all the various iterations of that track while you were making... Or the two iterations on that track that you were making.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, like, seeing it and, or I guess hearing it... in the game itself is such a different... It's the same with, like, the individual, like, tower tracks. Some of that music has been in there for, like, over a decade now in certain places. And, like, I'm so, like... I don't want to say, like, numb to it, but, like, I don't think about it as much. So hearing new music in there is like, oh, wow, this feels more like a final thing as opposed to, like, this one track that has just mm-hmm. been, like, kicking around for a while.
That's good. Do you like it in context?
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't ask you that. I just asked you for, like, functional, like, oh, how does the mix sound? How does it sound relative to other... Oh, I'm glad to hear that, too.
Yeah, because one of the things, I don't think we've really talked about this, but one of the things that we're going to do with the boss fight music is have their, like, it's going to be the same kind of general track, but there are iterations, like, maybe slightly more complex or, like, other instrumentation and stuff throughout the different fights. So at the time of this recording, there are two currently in the game, one for Tower 1 and one technically for Tower 3, but is presently also in Tower 2. And the vibe is very similar, but mm-hmm. it's like a little more kind of chiptune-y and a little like crunchy sort of for like Tower 1, because that kind of fits that kind of more simplistic area. And then it just like the instruments get better and it gets like a more complex melody and like kind of breakdowns and stuff like that. And it's just neat.
Because originally we were going to do just one single boss track for all the boss fights in the game.
Which was something I tried to fight against.
Yeah, and again, I think it was the right call to do something that's at least a little different. So now we're kind of split the difference a little bit, and like Lorraine described, they'll be kind of like remixes, basically.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I had to fight for those Down the Drain boss fight music tracks, and I think the three we got are real good. I like them.
But yeah, so like technically some slight scope creep on that front at Cucumber. But again, if it'll make the game better, it's
yeah,
worth doing.
I think,
and so
I think
it's
like
ultimately...
expansion in a good direction.
I think we'll be happy with it mm-hmm. by the time it's done. But
I mean, same with all the towers having a unique track. I think that's a very good, because then it kind of feels like, oh, like you're kind of aware of this, like this boss theme, but it maybe ties more into with the unique like vibe from the level or like how the fight itself kind of goes. Like, I think that's a cool thing. And it's a bigger game than yeah. Down the Drain. I think its soundtrack has earned the right to reflect that.
For sure. But yeah, like I said, it's going, all that stuff we kind of just described, again, it's hard to sum up like weeks of coding mm-hmm. or, you know, days of grinding away at the tablet, making art, other than to just say like, hey, we're working on it. But, you know, we're working on it.
What the fuck is a chainsaw?
It's going well. So yeah, thank you for hanging in there, being patient. Like I said, I'm really excited to get the mm-hmm. new build out there in June and then go from there.
Yeah.
But it's going to be a lot of fun. Again, just getting more of the game behind us. Mm-hmm. Continuing to work our way through it.
I feel like kind of up until now, it's been more kind of fine-tuning and really picking apart what was already there. So like trying to almost actually building a mountain out of a molehill in a sense, like the kind of more simplistic unfocused design that we had before is being upgraded into something that like means something. There's intent behind what we're doing. And in that regard, we did run out of that runway because of how little, like how little was even like test built of Tower 4 specifically. That's as far as we got in engine. I've technically got a lot of other assets built out for beyond that, but they were never put in the game, never really like looked at on like a bigger thing aside from like me making composite images here and there. So I'm really looking forward to like, this was the last tower that had any enemies drawn out beforehand. And one of them got completely changed. He got an updated design that I'm really happy about. And I'm looking forward to see him more in motion. Like, it feels like we've got a whole different project now of, like, what we're going to do because we haven't built anything else out. And, like, maybe it takes us longer to get mechanics in there because it's like, oh, like, well, what do we think about this? Or what if I, like, I mean, you've just been, like, streamlining and refining a lot of other things to make the building of more complex systems easier. And it's just, it's really cool to see this, like, kind of almost just like whiteboard design doc that we had made of like what we want here and what's actually finally happening in the game. Like, it's just cool. It's exciting.
Yeah, we'll have another conversation on that in the future. That's our, like you said, that's kind of our post too many games roadmap. Mm-hmm. There's going to be much more new stuff that's never been built before as opposed to tidying up or iterating on things we had made in many cases years ago.
Yeah.
But, oh, we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. But still exciting stuff.
Yeah, because even with like Down the Drain, like, not much was really, I think the only thing that was really kind of built from the ground up outside of like the vast majority of like little broken pieces that I had together was the final boss fight that was added last year at post-release. Everything, aside from like the level creation, which was not the way that I had been doing it, which was by hand. Everything else, like all the boss fights, the other boss fights, I had more or less done. They got like cleaned up and fixed, obviously, but like their skeletons were all there. And we had that to an extent in Cucumber. But again, like we're out of that design space now. We're out of cleanup time and like dotting our I's, crossing our T's and everything. And like we actually get to like make stuff new again. And that's kind of fun. It's daunting and a little scary,
right?
But like, I mean, we haven't been able to do this kind of like game dev in like at least a good maybe 5 years minimum. So it's, I don't know, it's exciting.
Yeah, for sure. And with all that said, I think that's pretty much it for our updates. Particularly, I don't really have much to add. Again, I keep an eye on the Discord server. I'll reiterate it later. But yeah, if you want to know what's up with Super Cucumber, you want to actively ask questions about stuff, if you want to play the build that is out there. That's a couple months old at this point, but again, we'll have a new one in June. Mm-hmm. Go to cuberhorngames.com and click the Discord button at the top of the page. It's the best way to keep tabs on the progress we're making. Again, I don't want it to be a particularly long conversation, but I did want to touch on that as the game industry continues to fall apart, you know, its biggest spender. Microsoft has laid off a bunch of people over the last week or two. I forget exactly when this news dropped.
So many studios.
Yeah, they basically closed Arcane Austin, Alpha Dog Games and Tango Gameworks, and then folded the people from Roadhouse Studios. I'm assuming at least many of them, probably not all of them.
I bet it's not all.
Into just like other divisions within Bethesda. But yeah, shitty news. Mm-hmm. And I'm real, but thing I will say is I've been really pleased with people's reaction to this in general on average, like in a way that I don't know if it was just this situation in particular, because like I think a lot of that was part of it, where like because Tango got caught up in it specifically, and they're kind of widely known for making like arguably the only really good thing Xbox has done in like 5 years or something with Hi-Fi Rush. It's like the one product they've come out in many calendar years that has been like universally praised, like people, including me. It made me want to go back and finish that game, because when I had played it when it first came out, I didn't like, you know, I probably got 20 or 30% of the way through it.
Classic Dustin move.
Yeah, that's very me. But it did make me want to go back and actually play all of it. Because that game is cool, and it is something special, and it's a fucking goddamn shame that those guys aren't going to get to make something else now. So yeah, I think that was part of it, because but also I think maybe we're turning the corner a little bit in terms of like people who generally appreciate games being aggrieved that like senseless layoffs are happening in general. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Again, time will kind of tell on that too, but it's been, the reaction I've seen has been good from the general public of, again, like I know developers will be
up in
upset
arms.
Because yeah. they know what the stakes are and they know what it's like being in the trenches, dedicating all that time and energy to a thing and just mm-hmm. having it be not appreciated whatsoever. But, you know, in large part, the game consuming public can't ignore mm-hmm. that if they want to, but people have been stepping up to say that this shit sucks, it's fucking stupid. Mm-hmm. Just in the general gaming populace in a way that I was very happy to see with these layoffs specifically. Yeah, I really hope that game consumers can continue to move away from the... Because there were definitely some of that, too, of, like even the people who were, like, across the board were kind of upset by it would, like, you know, give the caveat. They'd, like, carve out Arcane Austin and be like, oh, well, fucking Redfall was pretty fucking bad, yeah. So I get it. And that's fine, I guess, but I do want people to step away from that opinion in general. Mm-hmm. Because that's at the core of art, right?
Yeah.
Like, you have to be... if you're going to make stuff, you have to be okay with some stuff not turning out exactly the way you wanted. Yeah. Point is, you, as an individual or as a team, when a thing comes out and it's not very good, you kind of just got to get it back up on that horse and, you know, make the next
or
thing.
In Microsoft's case, you just shoot the horse and be
right,
like,
shoot the horse.
Why aren't we making money?
Yeah, for sure. And again, that was the most frustrating thing because it is like, I want to say that, like, it even had leaked to some degree, like, an anonymous person told somebody that, like, which, like, if you're in tune with business decisions at all, you could understand this anyway, but, like, none of this had to do with performance one way or another. It was yeah. just a matter of pure accounting of, like, all right, well, Tango and Arcane Austin, they had just ended game development cycles, so mm-hmm. they have put a thing out into the marketplace, so if we choose to keep them on staff, it's going to be, you know, two or more years each mm-hmm. before they generate revenue. And so it's just, if we want money off the books now, fire them, fire everyone. And it just makes me so fucking mad. Because again, it's also not even like, executives are worthless.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I've said that before and I'll continue to say it again. And if I ever...
Unionize your fucking workplace, eat the rich, all that.
If I ever finish that YouTube video about Disney, it's going to be mostly about how their executives are worthless. But the point being that, like, these people aren't even, like, quote-unquote, making hard choices. Like, they're literally just flowcharting their way, like, as the yeah. cash flow goes up and down. So there's no, like, going to bat for people. Mm-mm. There's no going to bat for ideas. There's no calculating,
but Dustin,
like...
Dustin, Phil Spencer was probably so upset about uh-huh. having to make these decisions to fire hundreds of people. He was so hurt about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it is just a linear decision-making fucking process a. of, like, oh, if revenue is bad, we need to make the money look good elsewhere. And so just, like, do anything, like, that at this exact moment will make the books look a little bit better without, like I said, any regard to anyone who has contributed to their success or without having to do any kind of calculus as to, like, oh, well, what kind of products can we expect from these people mm-hmm. in the future? Just, like, need money now. You know, games take a while to make. Kill every studio that has just shipped something.
Can I have a very business illiterate question.
Uh-huh.
Why is it so much faster to just shutter a studio as opposed to, like, selling it, like, to themselves or whatever? Like, would they just not be able to produce the revenue from that sale with, like, what they'd want? Or, like, why do they make more money closing a studio than...
Well, I think, like, in a lot of cases, it's just, like, these days, I think the market conditions are so weird that they're not confident they could sell something within a reasonable amount of time.
Well, I was even saying, like, what it could... as a way to, like, cut the studio loose. Like, sell Tango Games work back... It's, like, a freedom, essentially. Mm-hmm. Like, sell it to them.
Well, because they'd still have to find that money somewhere, right? So they'd either need to, like, either somebody within that studio structure already would have to be independently wealthy enough
okay.
to cut the check straight up, or they'd have to secure funding. Like, they'd have to, you know, even if you made it a worker co-op or whatever, mm-hmm. like, that organization would have to basically, like, find financing somewhere, whether it's, like, private equity, like, they take money from individual investors, or they get just a bank loan for, like, hey... we made games that are worth this much in the past. We think we'll be able to make games worth this mm-hmm. much in the future. Can you finance us, you know, $40 million or whatever the fuck the number is that we pay to Microsoft to fucking unshackle ourselves? And then at that point, we have to just try to, like, make the business work. But for the giant companies, and I think it's just because they're literally just thinking quarter by quarter. And they're mm-hmm. like, all right, well, even if we, like, thought we could get a buyer in, like, 6 months, that's longer than, like, next quarter's earnings, and mm-hmm. so we want this money off the books now.
So it's basically just removing salaries.
Yeah.
That have to be, okay.
Well, and the other thing with games specifically is if you're, like, paying them and trying to sell them off, Like, that's another, like, you basically have to add that into the cost of the transaction. Mm-hmm. If you're the seller, I suppose, or it's like, all right, well, if we're going to pay these people, let's say we think we can offload this asset, like we can sell the studio in like 6 to 9 months. That means while they're here, we got to pay them if we're going to keep it open until then. And that means every dollar we pay them that, if we want the full return on the investment of like just having more money in our pockets, like that, all those salaries and stuff need to be added to that purchase price because we want to be paid out for mm-hmm. a game that we'll never see the release of because we don't intend to keep ownership of these people. I don't know. Again, I'm not like a particularly.
I mean, you're more literate than I am.
Yeah, I mean, relatively speaking, sure.
But, I don't know how commerce works.
But yeah, like I said, in this environment, it's just, I'm pretty sure it's just because like all big game creators are contracting and interest rates are so high
mm-hmm.
that the expectation is that, again, unless someone within the studio is particularly wealthy or they were able to find some wealthy benefactor to like basically buy them out on their behalf, that the thought would be that like another big studio wouldn't want to purchase them, and that like the studio themselves is in this particular economic environment going to have a hard time securing funding to kind of free themselves. And then with Tango specifically, there's also just like the international,
mm-hmm.
like Japanese businesses are different than U.S. businesses. I don't know the legality of any of that stuff. Like, I'm sure it's more complicated than if they were all just American companies. It's a fucking shame.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I don't know where we're going to be at this point. Like I said, I kind of feel like video games aren't going to be over, but they're going to be like way different and way more damaged in certain sectors coming out of this than I think at any point in history potentially. But it still might be for the good of the art form overall. I don't know yet. Like, it's hard to say that when so mm-hmm. many people are losing their jobs, but at the same time, if it all goes sideways enough for long enough, like, to the degree that like a lot of really moneyed companies start to get out of the game business mm-hmm. entirely, on a long enough timeline, that does take some pressure off of the industry. Like, if it becomes so unprofitable that like just investor class people want to invest in it less, you could certainly make the argument that in like over a 20 to 30 year period that makes games better just because they are less beholden to like on average shareholder interest. But that's a lot of blood to spill to get to that point.
I'd actually seen, like, so I've never watched this. I think, oh God, I just looked it up. I need to look it up again. There's a documentary about Psychonauts 2
mm-hmm.
that Double Fine did.
Yeah, we should watch that. I've known about that for a long
I think it's
time.
Actually on their website. I mm-hmm. wish I could remember the name.
Yeah, they
of it.
Have it on YouTube.
But there was a clip that got shared by another just like dev, like local dev on Twitter. He had retweeted it. This like 2-minute segment. With, I believe, is it Michael Booty? Is that guy from Microsoft? It's something.
His last name is Booty.
His last name is Booty.
That might be right.
He was at Double Fine for whatever reason. I think, did Microsoft actually buy
them? They own them now. For now, until they close them six months from now.
Well, no. So it was a conversation that I think that was Tim Schafer. That's Double Fine man,
he's
right?
He's the guy. Yeah.
And like his team. And they were talking about like, I think it was their like, maybe an internal game jam or something like that. And the Mr. Booty.
it's Matt Booty.
Matt Booty. I was close. was kind of like talking about how the environment's going to change. And Tim is like, well, like, we've had these game jams and we've specifically made it clear that like we, the company, do not own these ideas. Like, if people want to work on stuff outside, like, we've told them that we don't own them. And Matt was like, we'll honor that for now, but we'll have a longer discussion about this later. Cause he's like, well, what, like, if you make something on in like this space, like, what if we think it's a cool idea later down the road and we want to use it? And just like the like prolonged silence of all the devs in the room and their fucking side-eyed glances at each other of just the, like, I already wanted to throttle this guy after his like claim at a like fucking town hall meeting like last week or whatever of like we want games that make us awards, and just looking over at Tango Gameworks
mm-hmm.
like so mad.
Yeah, well, it is what it is.
I'm so fucking mad.
But again, well, who knows what's gonna happen with any of this, but I would expect to see more layoffs from Xbox in the future.
Oh,
that
I'm
also
sure.
That also,
because,
well,
they bought like fucking everybody.
They were like, well, we're probably not done, so, you know.
They were
for that.
Buying
and
every
again,
third
right.
studio.
And again, that's another, like, in just, like, business endless consolidation. It never works out in favor of
anyone,
because right now they've got all that downward pressure on their balance sheet of, mm-hmm. like, oh, well, they didn't need to take on all that debt and or issue all that stock or whatever. Like, I don't know what the nature of that mm-hmm. transaction was, like how much in cash or stock or whatever to pick up Activision, but it was $70 billion in value that now they have to justify by making, you know, that money back and then some mm-hmm. over the next, you know, couple of years or whatever. And so they didn't have to do that.
But they wanted to. Boy, did they want to.
I feel like we're in some combination of, like, other entertainment industries from, like, 10 or 15 years ago where, like, mm-hmm. Xbox has been on their, like, 2010s Disney arc for a while now where they're just like, all right, well, we aren't necessarily capable of producing things that are particularly popular in the ecosystem we have.
But
what if we just buy, like, you know...
Everyone.
Currently, our 18 to 34 male demographic is suffering with those people like Star Wars and Marvel, right? So what if we just scoop that shit up and just call mm-hmm. it a fucking day? Because I think they would have had either neutral or negative growth. That's what people are talking about in their financials over this last quarter without the Activision.
Mm.
Like the only reason they showed any growth at all is because Activision Blizzard made money.
Yeah.
The only reason that money existed was because they scooped them up. So
and tanked so much money doing it. I hate it.
I was just going to say, going forward, I'm going to try to do like a maybe I'll try to take more than like the 10 minutes I usually do of prep when we don't have guests and do like a good news, bad news thing. Because we used to do that way back in the day. We used to go over game news more generally. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe these days, like on episodes where we don't have some other specific agenda, we'll try to cover like at least one gnarly thing and at least one positive thing. So we'll say one positive thing that just occurred to me off the top of my head to start this pattern now. And then on a going forward basis, I'll try to do it more diligently. But, I believe Warner Brothers is in the process of giving back some of the indie game stuff that they had funded under their Adult Swim Games label to the developers.
Excellent.
So it's not all of them, but like Duck Game was one of those games. And those guys just within the last couple weeks had said like, yeah, they gave us our game back, basically.
Because
in Warner Brothers liquidating all of their game stuff in general, I guess they wanted that stuff so little that they were just delisting everything from the Steam store. Like, we don't even want to collect, you know, the couple hundred dollars or whatever that this might take in every month.
Mm-hmm.
We just want to be rid of it. But it was nice to hear. So I hope everybody under that label eventually gets their stuff back.
I really do.
But
at least
in some cases that's happening. They are thankfully returning the IP rights to those projects to the developers that made them. Which, again, is cool. Like, whoever is still in Warner Brothers on that side of the company who's making that happen, good on you. That's what executives or management should do. Again, first of all, it's something you guys see no value in. You see so little value in it that you don't even want to like keep the Steam page up to collect the money on it periodically. And if that's the case, just give it back to someone who would care about it. So, one minor win for somebody in that particular corporate structure in the face of, you know, overwhelming bullshit otherwise.
You get like a silver star. It's
there
not a gold star because you already did the thing.
Uh-huh.
But like... a matte yellow star that says "You tried" written in Comic Sans. That's what you get.
Oh, very good. You know, not all bad news, but still mostly bad news.
But we'll see as the months progress. That's every day. Let's be real.
Yeah, that's fair.
It's not just games.
Not unique to games. But with all that said, like I said, things are going pretty well on our end. Ugh, fingers crossed that mostly stays the same. But if not, we'll let you know about it on this podcast. So, thank you for hanging out. Thank you for listening. You can subscribe to this podcast in most places that podcasts are found. Again, you can go to cubicorngames.com for information on us to join our Discord server. Search for Cubicorn Games on most things, and you'll find us there somewhere. Search for Cubicorn Games on Steam, and you can play or wishlist our games.
And if you've got a game you want us to play, email us at podcast@cubicorngames.com.
Yeah, if you send us games like demos, full games, whatever, early builds, we'll try pretty much anything within reason. Mm-hmm. we try to give things a fair shake. So if you're out there and you're making stuff or you know somebody who is, send it over. We'd love to try it out.
Yeah, or hit us up in the Discord, too.
Yeah, for sure. And with all that said, we're going to call it a show. So thank you, Lorraine,
thank you
for joining me. Thank you again, anyone out there who's listening. And we'll be back in another couple weeks with another podcast.
Bye.